From the moment they are born, children explore the world around them and begin to discern what is happening inside their bodies by using their senses. That input helps them to get to know their surroundings, develop their gross and fine motor skills, and understand themselves. When they play, they are noticing how the dirt feels under their feet, their speed through the air while riding a bike, or how cold the ice cream is as they take a big lick, all of which nourishes their sensory system and teaches them how to engage with their environment. The sensory system develops as they interact with the world. In fact, for kids, perhaps the most meaningful way of experiencing the world is through play. Play has the power to lead our little ones to become children, and eventually adults, with the confidence and skills to chase their dreams. If a child constantly wore mittens, they would have difficulty developing the fine motor control of their hands and fingers that they need to be able to pick up small objects, handle a crayon, or play games. If a child was never given the opportunity to physically explore their environment, it would be challenging for them to learn to move around and interact with others. In fact, studies have shown that children who spend their early life without sufficient sensory stimulation, in this case because they lived in orphanages, are physically and cognitively behind their peers. These are extreme examples, of course, but the reality is that when a child's sensory system is not nourished, they may be at a disadvantage that can manifest physically, academically, and socially. I see it all the time in my work as an occupational therapist at my company, Play to Progress, where we help children build skills for the journey through childhood using the power of play. We see kids who struggle to stay seated during circle time, participate in a sport, navigate the classroom, build a structure out of blocks, write their name, copy from the board, or, what I find to be the hardest to see, develop a positive self-image and make friends. The bad news is that, in my experience, it's only getting worse. In recent years, I've seen multiple infants whose parents, with only the best of intentions, have placed them in equipment that is marketed as great for babies, but can actually delay development and lead to difficulty sitting or walking. What those little ones really need is what we had, tummy time, an opportunity to move and the freedom to develop their muscles. I've also seen children who were thought to have ADHD because they have trouble concentrating in school, when the real reason they fidget and move constantly is that they don't have the postural control to sit in a chair. The good news is, if your little one is struggling with a sensory challenge, maybe they are a picky eater or are afraid of heights, we all have something. It can be overcome. How do I know? I've seen sensory success both from my professional vantage point as an OT and from overcoming some sensory challenges of my own. The best way to do it is by doing something your kids already love. Play. We have 8 senses. Yes, 8. Which are responsible for processing the information in our environment, making sense of it, and informing us about our body and surroundings. If your child throws a ball toward a target but misses, their sensory system will provide the feedback that they need to modulate the force and throw softer or harder on the next try. This type of trial and error is as critical to their growth as a healthy diet and a loving home. I often think of a little girl named Heidi, whom I met in the early days of Play to Progress. Heidi's mom came to us in tears because she had just received a call from her preschool that since starting school the month before, Heidi was not adjusting well and had not connected with a single other child. Heidi would hang on the edge of the playground, find a corner, and watch the other kids play, but she never joined in. When I met Heidi and brought her into the sensory gym, the first thing I noticed was that she was not exploring at all. I decided to bring her a puzzle, and we sat on the ground to play. That was when a new Heidi emerged. She was chatting away and telling me all about her pets. As it turned out, Heidi was oversensitive to her feet leaving the ground, which we'll explain later in the book, and she was a bit clumsy. She wasn't playing at school because the other kids moved too fast for her, and the play structure was scary to climb. After our work together, she loved the swings and was ready for the kindergarten playground when she started school the next year. It likely won't surprise you to hear that our kids are increasingly entertained by gadgets and placed in high-tech pieces of equipment that smart marketing convinces parents they need, starting within the first few months of their lives. When we put our babies in bumbos and jumperoos It pulls them out of their natural movement patterns and places them in developmentally inappropriate positions, which both creates poor posture and is completely passive, not allowing them to strengthen their muscles. A jumparoo can actually delay a child's ability to walk or promote toe walking and impede their physical development. In short, overusing equipment sidesteps a baby's ability to develop naturally, engage their sensory system, and freely explore, which is their number one way of learning about their environment. I am passionate on this topic because we are all constantly fed ads for these items, which can be detrimental to a child. Remember, the best place when it comes to your baby's development is on a mat in a safe place on the floor. We want them to constantly be engaging with the world. I wrote this book to help you understand that there are dozens of ways to activate their sensory system and give you ideas for play.